giving us another Lord's Day, allowing us to be able to assemble once again that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And He's also given us opportunity that we might be able to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word to make sure that we're in right standings with God. And if not, make the right corrections while He's being so good to us and giving us time to do so. Mm-hmm. All right, so the lesson here this morning is coming from the book of John, chapter 11. So we want to turn to John, chapter 11. That's where we're going to be at this morning. And we're going to read from John, and we're going to read from verses 1 through 27. Got some reading here. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 27. John chapter 11 is about the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. All right, so the entire chapter is about Jesus and His raising of Lazarus from the dead. So we're in John chapter 11 once again, starting here at verse number 1. Everybody there?
Yes.
All right, let us read here. John says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When He heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. And then He said to His disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' But, Rabbi, they said, 'A short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light.' And after He had said this, He went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus had fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but His disciples thought He meant natural sleep. So then He told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we might die with him.' On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she replied. 'I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.'" And that was a reading there from John 11, verse 1 through 27. The title of the lesson is, "Do You Believe?" Do you believe? All right. Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we really believe that? Many of Jesus' disciples, after he had been crucified, still didn't grasp or believe as they should that Jesus was the resurrection, that he was able to be resurrected. We see that in the life of many of his disciples. You see that when he was on the road to Emmaus, we had two of the disciples. They didn't believe in Jesus as had resurrected, as he said that he would. We see others such as Peter, when Jesus had been crucified, Peter went back to fishing. He didn't believe as he should in the resurrection. We have the disciples that were in a locked door behind closed doors after Jesus was crucified, not believing in the resurrection of Christ as they should. So there was many of Jesus' disciples, even of Thomas, which he gets a bad rap as Thomas been doubting, but the other disciples doubted as well. If you read in the passage there, he didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ unless he had some proof, unless Jesus said, stick your finger in the holes of my hand or in my side. So the question here is, do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, that Jesus is the Son of God who has the power to give eternal life unto man? So I believe this is all of what this chapter here is encompassing here. So John chapter 11 and verse number 1, John starts off here by saying, now a man named Lazarus was sick. Starts off telling us Lazarus was sick. And he tells us that Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, who sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, Lazarus was a dear friend here of Jesus, as well as Mary and Martha, and Jesus loved them. All right, and I believe that the words of Mary and Martha, when they said, Lord, the one that you love is sick, I believe this is a plea for help to the Lord. It's a cry to Jesus to come and help and heal our brother Lazarus, who was sick. And we know he was very sick, even to the point of death. So here's a plea or a cry, Lord, come help your friend, the one that you love so much here. Let's drop down. I'll be skipping around here. Verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So all of what's about to take place here in this chapter here, chapter 11, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead is for God's glory. It's all that God can receive praise and honor through what's going to take place here. And also that the Son of God, Jesus, he could be glorified through this situation. So all of what's going to be taking place is for God's glory. And skip down to verse 14 and 15. Here in verse number 14 and 15, Jesus says to his disciples that Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So we had read in verse number 4, Jesus says that Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. But now we have here in verse number 4, Jesus says Lazarus is dead. For some, that might be confusing, but not to us, because we understand the end of this account. We understand the end of this. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. All right, so we see that take place there. In verse number 15 again, Jesus says to his disciples about Lazarus' death, he says, for your sake, I am glad I was not there. For what purpose? So that you may believe. So Lazarus is going to die. Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there because there's a purpose for all of this. And it is so that you may believe. So Jesus is going to do this great miracle here of resurrecting Lazarus from the dead so that his disciples may believe. All right, they already believe, so what's going on? He wants their faith to grow even stronger. He wants them to believe in himself even stronger, increasing their faith, and also to increase their faith in God as well. Remember, verse number 4 said, it's for God's glory. This is going to take place for God's glory, and that the Son of God can be glorified through it. So the resurrection of Lazarus is for God's glory, and that Jesus Christ can receive glory from it all as well. And that's the purpose here of John's writing of this gospel. All right, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You're looking at John chapter 20, and we're going to take a look here in verses 30 and 31, John chapter 20, and verses 30 through 31. So John says here in verse number 30, he says to his disciples, here in this letter that he's writing, he says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Yeah, verse 30 and 31. I'll do it again for us here. Verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John says in verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs, all right, in the presence of disciples, but they're not recorded in this book. So Jesus did much more in the presence of his disciples, but it's not written down. And then he tells us here in verse 31, he says, but these are written. What are these? That's the signs he was just talking about. So your key word here is signs. What are the signs? The signs are the miracles, the wonders, all of the miracles that Jesus did. Those were signs to people and for us. What are signs? They were indicators to tell you who Jesus was, that he is from God, that he is God. We know what a sign, when we come to the stop sign, what does that mean? To go, huh? No, that means stop. Some of us do that at the yellow light. We go even faster, or you're slowing down. When we come to the stop sign, we know what that means. That means to stop. All right, when we see a bottle with skull and bones on it, what does that mean? Drink it? No, that means poison, right? Don't drink it. So those are signs, those indicators pointing to us, telling us something, communicating to us of what's going on there. So these signs that was written in this book about all the miracles that Jesus did, what was the purpose of those signs? What were they trying to tell you when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, healing the lame and the sick? What were those telling you? Well, they were telling you that Jesus is from God. So we see here in verse 31, these are written, these signs, that you might what? Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. All the miracles was to point you to Jesus Christ. No one can do these things unless they were from God. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? But Nicodemus said the same thing. It's all pointing that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one, the Christ. He is the Son of God who God has sent. So it's all pointing that you would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You see the whole point, believing in Jesus, because he is the life. He is the source of life. Believing in his name that I can have eternal life here with God. So that's the purpose of John writing all of recording the miracles that he wrote in the book of John. Many others, but that's why he recorded the ones that he wrote. So it's all about believing in Jesus Christ so that we can have a life, eternal life. That's the whole purpose. God wants us to spend eternity with him. That's why God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. All right, that's why God gave his Son. He wants us to spend eternity with him, and eternity with God is only found in Jesus Christ. We can only have the eternal life with God, and that is through his Son. 2 Timothy 2 and 4, God wants all men to be saved, and we have to come into the knowledge of truth. And believing in Jesus is not just a mental sense, but it's also trusting and obeying Jesus. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. Can't have one without the other. All right, James tells us in James 2, 9, that the demons, they believe, but they tremble. All right, they believe in God. And then James tells us in James 2 and 20, he tells us there that faith without works is dead. So it has to go hand in hand. I believe in the Lord, and I believe in him to the point where I trust him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to do the things that he has asked me to do because I really believe in the Lord. Those go hand in hand there. Let us continue on. All right, so we're back here in John chapter 11. And now we're in John chapter 11 here. So when Jesus had heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus didn't immediately go and check on Lazarus. All right, remember the Bible records that he waited 2 more days. So when Jesus got the word, he didn't immediately go and check on Lazarus. And then Jesus eventually did go. All right, he went. And when Jesus and his disciples went to see Lazarus, it found that Lazarus had been dead, and he had been in the tomb for how many days? He had been in the tomb for 4 days. All right, when Jesus got out there. But Martha said to Jesus that Lazarus smelleth. All right, King James says he stinketh. All right, so when Jesus got there and he told them to roll the stone back from the tomb, Martha said, no, he smells. All right, he stinketh, the King James said. He had been in the grave for how long? 4 days. It records that from 3 to 5 days, the body begins to break down and decompose. So what it's showing us here that there was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. He was dead. There's no hocus pocus here. Lazarus was dead. And this is what it's showing us here. So Jesus had the stone here removed away from the tomb. Then the Bible tells us here that Jesus looked up and said here in verse number 41-42. I believe that's where we are, 41-42. Yeah, 41-42 here said, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. You see Jesus here praying to the Father. He said why he's praying. He says, I know you always hear me. All right. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. What is the purpose of believing? So that you might have life. All right. Then he says 43 again. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his feet. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So we see here Jesus has come to the tomb and he has prayed to the Father for the benefit of all those that were standing there so that they might believe. But to perform this great miracle of raising the man from the dead so that you might believe, that your faith might believe that in Jesus as the Son of God and has the power to resurrect man. He told them to call Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus came out of that tomb. And they told him to take off the linen clothes. They had wrapped him in his burial clothes and let him go on his way. Jesus has proven that he is the resurrection and the life here. All right. And then we see here at the very end there, verse 45, therefore many of the Jews had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. You see, it was about believing in Jesus from his disciples and to all the others that had came there that they could have faith in Jesus. And we read, continue on there. There was others that didn't believe, and they went back and told the Pharisees, the religious leaders. So I would just sum that up for you, just to give you the overall point here, because there's so much here. Don't have enough time to share all that, but there's so much here in this chapter here, so I encourage you to read the whole chapter when you do have time to do so. So what's the overall point here? What is the overall point in this lesson here? The point is to show that Jesus has the power over our greatest enemy, which is death. All right, Jesus has the power over our greatest enemy. Jesus here waited until Lazarus to die. Why? So that he can demonstrate that he has the power and the authority to raise the dead and to bring man back to life again, so that men may believe that God had sent him and that men may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why we see Jesus say here to Martha here in verses 25 and 26. Jesus says here, one of his famous I am statements, he says there in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This the same question Jesus has asked Martha is the same question for us today. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do we truly believe that? And as I started off, many of Jesus' disciples, they had a problem with the resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus had resurrected as he told them that he would. So they really struggle with that. So the point here is to help us to understand, do we really believe? Because it's going to come a point in time that we're going to leave this world. Do we really believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he can give us life again? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and life, that even though we will die, we will live again with Jesus? So Jesus demonstrated this great miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. But guess what? Jesus is going to demonstrate his great power once again. All right. Not long after he raised Lazarus from the dead, you can see in the chapter, they wanted to put in the plot into effect to kill Jesus. All right. The Jewish religious leaders, some of them here, there, they wanted to take Jesus' life and began to plot on how they were going to kill Jesus. So not long after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus himself was going to be crucified, buried, and he was going to raise himself from the grave also. So Jesus demonstrated his great power once again as raising himself from the grave as well. Let us turn here to John chapter 10. Let's take a look at that. John chapter 10 and see what Jesus had to say here. John 10, verses 17 and 18. John 10, verse 17 and 18. Jesus says here, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." So here Jesus shows us that he was willingly to go to the cross and die. No one was taking his life from him. He willingly laid it down for us on the cross. And Jesus says he has the authority from the Father to take it up again. That he has authority to raise himself from the grave again. See, the grave and death has no power over Jesus. All right? The grave has no power over Jesus. And just as the grave has no power over Jesus, if we have our faith and belief in Jesus, it'll have no power over us as well. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them show us as well in Revelation chapter 1. Let us turn there. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. Let's take a look and see what Jesus had to say here. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Jesus says here, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Did y'all hear what Jesus just said? Jesus says, "I am alive. I'm the living one. I was dead, but I'm the living one. I was dead, I'm living." And then he says, "Now look, I'm alive forever and ever." So I'm the living one. I died, but now I'm alive and I live forever and ever. Then he says here at the end, "And I hold the keys of death and of Hades." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus saying that the grave cannot hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Jesus says, "I have the keys." Keys unlock the door. So I can unlock the door to death. I can unlock the door to Hades. You know, Hades is where your spirit goes when you die. Jesus says, "I have the keys there. I have the keys to death, to unlock death and Hades." So the grave couldn't hold Jesus. He holds the keys to death and to Hades. So Jesus saying that the grave couldn't hold him, and why is that so important for us to understand that and to know that? John chapter 5. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Looking at John chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 28 through 29. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says here, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their grave will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to condemnation. Jesus says the time is coming when all, that's everybody, all right, all who are in their grave will hear his voice. Just as Jesus called Lazarus, he had to call Lazarus from the name. I heard if he didn't call Lazarus from the name, everybody in the grave might have got up. So he called Lazarus by name. And one day he's going to call all who are in the grave, and they're going to hear his voice. They're going to hear his voice, and he says, verse 29, they're going to come out. Just as Lazarus, those who have done good, all right, doing good according to what God has said, will rise to life. That is, the rise to eternal life. And those who have done what is evil will rise to condemnation. All right, we see what Jesus here is saying there. He's going to call all of those from the grave. And we want to be on the side of those who would have done good and will rise to life. We don't want to be on the other side. All right, so we all know that one day we have an appointment to meet, and that is with death. We all have an appointment, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, face the judgment. All right, we're going to have to face the judgment. We're all going to have to leave this world one day. So one day, Jesus is going to call us from the grave, and just like Lazarus, unless we're alive when Jesus returns, but just like Lazarus, we want to be in right standings with the Lord. All right, we want to be with the one who has the keys to death and also to Hades. All right, we want to be those who have their trust in Jesus. And not just believing in Jesus is not just a one-time thing, but it's also a lifetime thing. We continue to believe in Jesus and to trust him as we walk this Christian walk. So we must believe in Jesus and also obey Jesus Christ. All right. So God, today, as we conclude here about our faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he is the resurrection and the life, because one day we're all going to have to walk that walk. We need to believe in Jesus now, trusting in him that he is the Son of God and that he has the power to raise us from the dead. All right, so overall point, it is Jesus' resurrection that gives us hope in this life and in the one to come. It is only through Jesus that we have the victory over death and we can share in his resurrection. Only in Jesus that we can have the victory over death. So the scripture says, oh death, where is your sting? All right? Only in Jesus we can have that victory. So the question once again that is on the table, do we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? That even though we will die physically, all right, we will live again, that is spiritually, and we all have a place in eternity. We're either going to spend eternity with God or without God. All right, so we all have a time coming. So believing in Jesus, as I said, not a one-time thing, but it's a lifetime thing. And we come to Jesus today, to God today through his Son. All right, God saves all those who trust and obey his Son, who puts their belief in his Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we must believe in God and his Son. But also we need to be those who obey him. Hebrews 5:9 says here, and being made perfect, he, speaking of Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. We must obey Jesus Christ. So we come to God today by hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find that in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 7. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. The facts of the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4. Upon hearing and believing the gospel, then one must repent. That means have a change of mind that results in change of your actions. Jesus says we must repent, Luke 13:3. Then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is Lord, here in Romans 10 and verse number 9. Then we must be baptized. All right, we must be baptized. Purpose of baptism is for the remission or forgiveness of our sins. And we see that there, Mark chapter 16, Verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All right. Without baptism, there is no salvation. All right. The Lord then will add us to his church. All right. That is the church of Christ that we read about in the Bible there. The only church that we read and find in the Bible that Jesus died and shed his blood for, Acts 20 and 28. And it's the only church that he is the Savior of, Ephesians 5 and 23. All right. Then we must be faithful until death. All right. Be faithful unto death. That's what the Bible lesson was. Going through the trials of life, be still faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Jesus says that he will give us the crown of life. And we see that in Revelations chapter 2 and number 10. The question once again, do you believe? Do I believe? Do we truly believe in that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That is my lesson for us this morning. If there's anyone here that has not obeyed the gospel and desire to do so, we'd be happy to baptize you. Baptize you today and allow you to be added unto the Lord's family. If there's anyone here as a Christian, has struggled, have any needs they want to bring before us, the congregation, you can do so as we now stand, and Brother Napoleon is going to come back before us and lead us in the invitation song.
What can